Welcome to New Life Live. I'm Dr. Sherry Denham, and I'm here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. I'm filling in for Steve Arterburn, and give us a call, 1-800-229-3000.
My husband and I have been married for a year.
Is there a Christian or biblical therapy for OCD?
At that time, I'd just gotten out of jail for domestic violence. I smacked her pretty hard this last time.
So what are you going to do?
One of the largest struggles that we face in relationships is allowing you to be different than me.
I'll say it this way. It is devastating in a redemptive way.
What that does is it makes you an adult responsible for the choice that you're making.
I am such a jerk and do so many crummy things. And they can vouch for it. You know, somebody show me something that makes more sense than we can't make it. Jesus did it for us.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to New Life Live. Dr. Sherry Denham here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. And in the studio today, all day, we'll be here all day, I have Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
great
guys.
Colleagues and friends.
Yes,
and
good to be here together again.
I feel like I'm on The View here.
On The View. Yeah, you're sitting here with the girls.
Mm-hmm. Talking about life.
Yep, yeah, that's what we're doing today.
He's kind of been drilling us in between segments here about life.
I have
life.
Been. Because, you know, I wrote a book called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping a number of years ago, and it's about dating. And these two lovely ladies are out there. And you talked about on the radio, you've sort of newly re-entered the dating world, right, Sherry?
Thanks to Henry. He kind of kicked Jill, me back out.
I've been nagging Jill for however long.
Yes, I know. And some people I know come in, clients, let's say. I've known people who have thrown your book across the room, by the way.
At you?
No, not at me. No, they've reported that. Because, you know, you make people kind of look at themselves in the book.
Oh, they get mad at the book.
Yes, they get mad at the book.
You know what? Seriously, out of all the books, no book has gotten me as much hate mail as that book. But I'm glad. I mean,
yeah, because it stirs things in
people. So what have they told you about it that, you know, was a challenge for them?
Well, because you offer a different perspective than what some people are used to, and it forces people out of their comfort zone. You know, the idea of exposing yourself and taking responsibility for that, of making yourself visible, and so that you're seen as available.
Should you just go crawl in a hole somewhere and not tell the outside world that you exist?
Yeah, right. It's easy to do that.
And dare
right?
them to come find you. And then blame it on God. That's what I love. When people like totally, it's just like the parable of the talents. They bury themselves in the ground and then they don't do anything. They don't invest themselves. They don't, you know, go out there and then they blame God for it. That's actually why I wrote the book.
Right.
I was on a holy
mission. At
least
blame yourself for that, right?
Yeah. At least.
You know, though, truly, I think as a single, it's easy to get disheartened. It's easy to feel hopeless. It's easy to get stuck.
Right.
The older we get, you know, we're not 25 anymore.
No.
Right.
And it's not the same.
It isn't the same. There's more issues out there. Mm-hmm. There's more issues that we carry.
Yeah,
right?
So that and a quarter will get you a Kleenex, but it won't get you a date. Right. Those things are true.
I would say that's true. I think what happened for me is I just got really disheartened in the process.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it was easier to unplug than to have to push through that and get myself
and
back out
there. And push is the right word. And it's why I push back on that, because it is true. I mean, this is not for the faint-hearted.
It's not.
You know, life is not for the faint-hearted. And we're not putting this in a separate category, because what God calls us to, I think, in life. And that's why it's all the great faith stories of the Bible, whether it's dealing with a difficult husband, dealing with an addiction, dealing with an illness, dealing with dating, dealing with overcoming a broken heart, that Hebrews tells us that the one who shrinks back, his soul will take no pleasure in. And that doesn't mean if you're hurt, you got to go out there and get hurt. It does mean that maybe you want to go to a healing group. And so you can get get over the discouragement. God is all about that. What I get bugged at is people's passivity.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham. I'm filling in for Steve Arterburn here. And passivity.
Passivity, yeah, you were on a roll.
Henry. You weren't
I was
being
on a
passive
roll.
At all.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a bad thing.
Give us a little passivity tidbit, and then we'll go to calls.
You know, if you think about it, there's really hardly any topic that is consistently talked about in the Bible about, A, it will make life fail, and B, it really bugs God. And the thing that I got on the sort of the what do you call those things when you scream at everybody? The pedestal. what's the word?
The
I'm
The bandwagon?
For? Yeah, whatever. The soapbox.
Soapbox okay. Ranting?
Is
name that word.
I go crazy when I think about this. I would go traveling around, and these singles were being taught by spiritual leaders to treat their dating lives with passivity. Sit back and God will bring you your mate. You don't hear that talked about anywhere in the Bible. And they would say, well, that's what God does. You know, God brought Eve to Adam. Okay, nobody existed on the planet in that scenario, right? But if you look at every other scenario, both parties played a responsible part. Look at Ruth. I mean, just go read that. Talk about
lay down at the feet of Boaz.
Wow, exactly. Yeah. That's past joining a dating service, right? And all of these other examples. But everywhere there's a created order in this universe where God presents the promised land out there to us. And then he says, Joshua, you got to go possess it. I'll secure it. You go possess it. Matthew 6, God says he will. Don't worry about tomorrow. God will find whatever you need, and he will, you know, present it for you, and he'll take care. Don't worry about life, it says, and marriage and money and all that.
Right.
He says, look at the birds of the air. He provides for them. He sure does. He brings them mosquitoes and gnats and all sorts of stuff to go eat. But guess what? They get out of the nest and they go fly to where the bugs are, don't they?
Right.
And it says, if you sow, you will reap. And on and on and on and on and on. He asks us to exercise faith. Faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
And people were stuck in their dating lives because they were being taught that this is some special category of life that the created order does not apply to. Try getting a job that way. Try finding a church that way.
Yeah.
Try buying a house that way. Try finding groceries that way.
Absolutely.
It's not how life was created.
It's true. It's true. And even in marriages, right? Singleness or marriage. I have to tell you.
Passivity about anything.
Right, I know.
Right. True.
You got a headache. Maybe you want to get up and take the Advil.
I have had the opportunity to meet 18 wonderful gentlemen, thanks to you. And I'm still going forward, and I want to say thank you.
I want to know
18
what
new
that's
people.
Been like. Like,
it's been
what
good.
Have you learned?
It's,
do we have time to talk about that?
No. We're going to take a call.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to come back.
Yeah.
What I've learned is
I'm grateful for moving and getting out of that passive state.
Yes.
And I'm grateful to you, Henry. And I find more life. My heart is happier now that I'm moving forward, even though, you know, I haven't landed anywhere.
This isn't a safari.
Number 8, I will tell you.
It's a journey.
Listen to this. Number 8 went to a leadership conference and met John. And went up to John and said, hey, John, guess what? We have somebody in common. I'm number 8. Dr. Sherry Denham. And he introduced himself to him. Isn't that
but he
great?
He called himself number 8.
He said, I'm number 8. He says, I'm in the lead right now, and I just wanted to introduce myself to you. Isn't that great? So John and he had a chance to talk. I thought that was pretty bold.
Okay, that all right, speaking, is really cool.
Isn't that cool? All right, speaking of bold, we're going to help Roger here.
What if Roger is number... What are you on now, number 1?
No, Roger's married, I think.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Roger.
What number are you on?
I'm on 18.
Hey, number Roger. Number 19's listening. Hey, Roger.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for calling. Roger's calling from San Francisco on KFAX. Hey, we'd like to hear from you. What's going on, Roger?
I've had an ongoing problem for a couple of years now, and me and my wife, about 2 years ago, she said she wanted to get a divorce. Spent the next couple months apart, got back together, lasted about 4 months, and then then she left again, and we were separated for a year. And she just came back a couple months ago.
And she left why?
Pardon me?
She leaving?
Why did she leave?
Yeah.
Well, what's the problem?
We've just kind of come to maybe finding out what the real problem was, and she has a real fear issue. And kind of an anxiety disorder, and a lot of the fear stems around me. And I, at this particular point, I don't really know what to do.
What is she afraid of, Roger?
Just there were some control issues in the past, and she's just afraid of moving forward. I took that time that we were apart and spent it working on myself. Went to counseling, read a million books.
Good for you.
Got in a divorce care program because I figured I was getting divorced. And, so I'm not the same person I used to be, but she's kind of unwilling to believe that's true to some extent. And
so your changes haven't caught up with her yet.
Yeah, and she's I don't know. You know, I see a real spirit of fear in her that she's just not able to overcome, and because she keeps trying to do it in her own strength.
What does that mean?
Well, she continues to kind of stay in her own little world. She is going to counseling right now, a Christian counselor, but she doesn't. I know for me, when I feared losing something, I really reached out and started, you know, being active. And she really doesn't do that. She just stays around the house for the most part and doesn't really kind of seek stuff out, I guess.
Okay, so the way that you deal with uncertainty is that you get active, and that makes you feel less anxious.
Yeah, I would imagine that'd be true.
Okay, well, let me introduce you to maybe a new thought. That while that helps you be less anxious, you're an action-oriented guy, right? And when you feel fearful, or there's a thing in the brain, and it's this little part of your brain, and when it's afraid, it has two options, fight or flight. For whatever reason, it sounds like that you fall on the fight mode, and you'll go fight uncertainty. You'll solve it. You know, you'll put your arms around it and beat the enemy of fear, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hers is the opposite. She has a flight mechanism. So what I want you to start with is I want you to start with having some empathy for that she's kind of doing the same thing that you're doing. She's just doing it in a different direction, but the problem is that leaves you kind of abandoned. And so that makes you anxious, and so what do? You fight that abandonment, and you move towards her. That makes her scared, and she flights again. Is that correct?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
So why don't we try breaking that cycle?
Okay.
And why don't you give her the empathy about her fear and say, I understand that moving too fast makes you afraid. So I'm going to, instead of come towards you, I'm going to stand still and let you kind of come towards me as you see that it's safe. And my job will be doing safe behaviors that makes it okay for you to take little steps. And if you're afraid to take a step, I won't push you to take that step anymore. I'm going to encourage you and empathize with your timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you had a scared little kitten, you wouldn't charge it. Okay? The kitten's going to run away. So you kind of have to think of your wife like that. like a scared cat that is protecting herself. So that's that kind of standing still and waiting, gently inviting, asking her, you know, is this too much? Are you okay with this? And gently inviting her instead of charging her, because that increases her fear. And your action, it sounds like, Henry, you're saying it would be the same thing as if you were charging her.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we don't know all the particulars, mm-hmm. but generally when somebody's scared, you don't you don't overcome the fear mechanism by pushing them. You overcome the fear mechanism by letting them be where they are and giving them the safety to embrace their fear while it subsides, mm-hmm. and that gives them the ability to take the next fearful step.
Yeah. You know, Henry, you mentioned this part of the brain, the fight, flight, or freeze. Those parts of the brain are called basal ganglia. And when they are on too high, which it sounds like your wife has her basal ganglia are turned up way too high. What happens is we're anxious, we're nervous, we panic easily, we get scared. It's conflict avoidant. You know, all those mm-hmm. kind of things. So I would even recommend that she maybe even, if she's got an anxiety disorder, she mm-hmm. may end up needing to see somebody, a psychiatrist, to mm-hmm. help get on some medication to help her while she's working on the relationship and helping to calm down that. But I think both of you guys were right. It's funny, my picture was a dove in a cleft of a rock, you know, or the little scared kitten. Mm-hmm. You've got to get on your knee or just, you know, mm-hmm. sit mm-hmm. outside. So,
Roger, are the two of you getting help now?
Well, she's going to counseling on her own, and then I'm pushing to go back to a marriage counseling type environment.
Yeah.
That tends to make her feel trapped.
Right. Maybe if you do it in this way, like we talked about, just go and do the mea culpa to begin with and say, you know what, I'm really sorry. I think I've pushed you too hard, and I can see with anxiety I've learned that can even make you more anxious. So I do want to let you know I'm going to go about this in a different way and let you be a little more in charge of your own pace or totally in charge of your own pace and see if that makes it safer for her.
And ask her if she'll let you know if you're pushing too much, that you would be open to that feedback from her. So hopefully
she seems to really shut down to any type of – I mean, her timeline is so drawn out. I mean – it's been 2 years now. That's kind of why I'm
right.
You know, I'm kind of getting to the end of my rope here.
Yeah, but Roger, hold on a second.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just this is hard for all of us, but I'm going to introduce you to another concept. Long suffering doesn't begin. The clock doesn't start ticking on long suffering until we're no longer part of the problem. So if we're pushing and somebody's resisting and their resistance goes on for 2 years, we haven't started the biblical concept of long-suffering yet. Long-suffering, because we're still part of the problem, right? So long-suffering would start, and patience really starts after we stop contributing to the problem and are 100% a healing agent. And I know this is hard. I'm not telling you anything mm-hmm. that's easy for any of us, but it's just true that when we've started to become the healing agent, not contributing to the problem, that's when patience begins. That's a hard concept. In our book, Safe People, there's a chapter in there called When to Repair and When to Replace. And that's kind of the beginning concept. You don't even look at being at the end of your rope until you've gotten kind of your side of it worked out. Now, I want to make sure, because I've said some hard things to you, I want to just commend you for what you've done in this time apart where you've mm-hmm. gone and worked on yourself
yeah,
and you've read.
Gone yeah.
Way
the
to
extra
go.
Mile.
Way to go.
Gotten and help for himself,
that's
and
right.
that's all good.
So I think that can go the next step now and bring that healthier self to her.
Yeah. And I would almost get rid of the timeline because you've said yours and hers are completely off. And if you're committed to this marriage, then this is growth that will take place over a lifetime, for better or worse.
So hopefully we've said something here today, Roger, that has helped. What should we send out? What would be a good resource for Roger and his wife? Maybe How We Love. Let's send How We Love.
Okay, because it really highlights couples' mm-hmm. differences.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that. And let's go to our next caller here, Jo Ellen. We're calling. Jo Ellen has called from Vienna, Virginia, from WAVA. Hey, Jo Ellen.
Hey, I want to say thank you so much for your wonderful ministry. It really
has meant a lot to me during this year.
Hmm. Oh, good. Well, you're welcome. Well, what can we do
for
Joellen,
you
today?
You know what? It's not us. Thank the supportive listeners who actually support the program. Mm-hmm. And by sending in their donations, they keep it on the air. And I'll just use this as a moment because I know that New Life really, really needs some support right now. But mm-hmm. it's the listeners who have made that possible for you. And we just want to encourage more to do that. So having said that, we're almost up against the break. And we'll talk to you after the break. But can you start with your question now?
It's kind of a little bit long. Well, I have a cousin who's an alcoholic. And he just lost his dad and really his stepmother as well because his stepchildren came and took the stepmother away because my cousin's an alcoholic and I guess they were afraid for her. And so he has lost his dad, which was his best friend, and also he was also an enabler of him being an alcoholic. And so my cousin's 38 years old.
Well, okay. Hey, Joellen, you know what we'll do is we're just going to head to a break here. Hold the line, and we'll come back and hear your story and then see what we can do to help. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham filling in for Steve Arterburn. And we are talking with Joellen. And Joellen was sharing with us about her cousin, who's an alcoholic. And we just started to get into her story here. So can you tell us... continue on.
Well, this has probably been an ongoing struggle for him. He was in a rehab that my cousin helped him get into, and he was there probably about a month and got a job and was living in a halfway house. And then I guess he got tired of it, or I guess he wanted to go back to his father and to his stepmother.
How old is he?
He is 38. And he went back, and my cousin told him, he said, if you go back to your dad, he goes, I feel something that's going to happen if you go back to your dad. And within a month, his dad had a heart attack, and he was there with his dad when he died. And then, of course, he started drinking again right after his dad died. And the stepmother that he had lived with, his dad and stepmother, her kids came down and got her and took her away because they did not want her to be around him.
So let me ask you, Joellen, just kind of as you're kind of filling us in on the details, what's your question?
My question is, my aunt and uncles are helping him right now, and my uncle who passed away, his dad that passed away, was an enabler. He was like his best friend. Mm-hmm. They drank together. They sat in the house and they drank. So he really wasn't a good help to his own son.
Okay, and right. How can we help?
So what we're trying to do is, what do we need? This is a first step for me of knowing someone who's an alcoholic, and I guess my mother is too, and my aunts and uncles.
Your mother what?
To help.
Your mother what?
My mother's also helping. Aunt as well. So all of my aunts and uncles, including my mom, are trying to help him. They're in a process of trying him getting into another rehab facility. But I just need some help of, like, what should we do or not do to try to support him, help him? We don't want to be an enabler.
Okay, so Joellen, he's 38 years old. So good questions. Does he want help?
He does want help.
He is. Okay, he's asking for help. And is he able to get help for himself?
That's the thing we keep telling him. My aunts and uncles, like, you need to want to get help, you know. And mm-hmm. he's willing to. He's taking their advice, and they're trying to get into this program this week. And I'm hoping he's able to get in.
Okay.
But for us, being the aunts and uncles, what are we, and cousins, of course, that are helping him as well? Because his brother and sister, you know, their families have kind of like shut the door, like, okay, we've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's come to his extended family.
I
just want to be there. I don't want my mom and my aunts and uncles to make sure that they're not enabling him through this.
Joellen, I'm just going to leap over everything here, okay, and give you the best advice that I think is possible. I think it's wonderful you guys want to help, and I think he needs that. The worst thing generally is for people that have never dealt with addicts to be dealing with addicts alone. Okay. So what I think you need to do is call a very seasoned alcohol counselor. And that counselor will walk you through the steps of how to best help.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, my experience, most counselors who aren't addiction specialists don't know what they're doing when they get in the midst of an alcoholic or drug addicted system, if they haven't had that experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's great counsel. And I was thinking, in addition to that, Al-Anon would be a really good place for you to go and your family system to go, so that they can be with other people that have walked this road before you and have gotten really good help by just being in a community.
And can learn how not to enable.
Exactly. It's a perfect mm-hmm. place for you there. And then you may want to give us a call at New Life here. We have a drug and alcohol treatment center.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we can let you talk to somebody off the air.
Love to talk to people. That's what they do all day long. So that would be perfect.
Yeah, it's great. It's a faith-based program.
Yes.
Okay, so because we're over in the South, my parents they live over in the Georgia area. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay,
We can give you all the details for that.
Right.
Okay.
But also, Joellen, you know, it's interesting that the siblings have kind of shut the door, and you know, so that's a little red flag, and maybe he wears people out. So you're asking really good questions, and so go get the data that you need.
Yeah, maybe a great resource for you, Joellen, would be our boundaries book. I think that'd be great, because that's mm-hmm. a good way to stay out of the enabling mode. So I hope mm-hmm. that something we have shared today has proved to be helpful for you. And we are going to go here. I'm trying to. There we go. Sorry about that. We're going to go on to Shelley. Hold on one second here.
Well, the buttons are a little tricky.
There you go.
Could
Thank
this be
you.
A sign from God that it's time to talk about your dating life?
Yeah,
more,
no. We're talking to Shelly. Hey, Shelly. Hi, Shelly.
I am 49 years old. My husband drowned 9 years ago. He was an alcoholic. And then 3 years later, my nephew committed suicide on the same spot that my husband was left.
I
had to deal with this with my sister, who is older than me. My question is, I have two children that are grown and out. They're both born-again Christians. I am, and my husband was. But he was not living for the Lord. I mean, I can't say that because he's not.
Hey, Shelley, we're going to take it. Hey, Shelley, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back to help you after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to New Life Live. Sherry Denham filling in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm here in the studio today with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. So
yep,
good to have you guys.
Glad to be here with you.
Yes, and Shelley, we have been talking with Shelley, who, lots of pain and grief. Shelley's husband was an alcoholic and drowned, and then also her nephew committed suicide. So painful, painful things, Shelley, and wanted to find out how we can help you. Do you have a question for us?
Well, my question is, I have been okay up to this point, and now I'm having this fear. I mean, I know it's Satan attacking me, but this fear and anxiety is just terrible in my spirit of being alone. My husband was there, he was not there for me emotionally or physically, so I long to have a mate, a Christian mate like that. One sad thing is I do belong to a small church, and I have had married men come on to me, and that to me is so wrong, and I'm so vulnerable, yet I have, resisted that, of course. But
What about single men?
I have gone out with a couple of single men who claim to be Christians, and when they find out that I don't believe in premarital relations, then they don't want to talk to me anymore.
Okay, so they self-select out. Let me ask you a question. When you said you're starting to be afraid of being alone. Is that a new fear? And what do you mean by that? Are you having panic attacks?
Yes. Mm. And I've been getting God's word and just thinking of everything that's holy, whatever's pure, whatever's good, whatever's godly.
Yeah. What does it look like? Okay, you're sitting at home. You're picking up a book, or you're petting the cat or something, and all of a sudden you have one of these fears. Can you paint the picture for us?
It all started, I had some surgery about 6 weeks ago on my cervical spine, and it was kind of after that is when it really started. It hit me that, and then I had a new grandson who's got Down syndrome and complications, and he's still in intensive care, critical care, but that's, I can't even, I mean, a week ago, I wouldn't even have been able to talk to you guys on the phone because okay. I couldn't get out of bed.
Wow.
I was just closing my eyes and want to just...
Shelly, are you... Do you have...
Couldn't relate to life, you know?
Well,
no, we
yeah,
hear you.
Yeah, and you've been in pain,
we
too.
We hear that... you. Who's there for you? Where's your group of friends? Where are those and, that are it, coming for you right now?
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. I've kind of distanced myself from people many years ago.
All right.
And... I do have people, you know how people say, anytime you need me, give me a call, we'll come. But it doesn't mm-hmm. work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say it, but they don't. They don't do it.
Some,
or follow through. And
sometimes after really painful things have happened in our lives, it's really
right.
easy to isolate and to yeah. pull away. And so what it sounds like is you've pulled away, but you've pulled away, and now when you really need some folks, you're mm-hmm. you're disconnected. And to be honest, that would make anybody anxious.
Right.
When we're alone, we weren't meant to be alone. You know, God, even with Adam, right. said, I'm going to make Eve, because it's not good for, mm-hmm. for him to be alone.
Right. Well, we get distorted when we're alone.
It's
just
true.
Bouncing in our own heads. And then our fears grow. And so then we think, well, then people don't want to be there or
yeah.
don't want to be with us.
Yeah.
That's part of that
right.
disconnect.
So my encouragement would be for you to get connected. You really get, you know, in your small group church with some women to really, that could come alongside of you. It's going to mean... You know, like Henry was talking earlier about passivity, you know, and it's going to mean breaking through that and actually facing your fear and walking into a community of women that can really love up on you and you on them. But we're not made to do this alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm very open and I'm very, try to be very congenial. And I'm, you know, I used to go into church and they'd go, well, here comes sunshine and,
but
you know,
Shelley,
made me feel good. I would try to greet yeah. people that were new people that came to the church, but then all of a sudden I just kind of withdrew into myself.
Yeah.
And that's great on Sunday morning, but unless you're in a smaller group within the church where people know you more than to just say hi, and they know you
right.
over time, so it's that familiarity that you know you're there consistently over time that people then feel a sense of, you know, we're a part of each other's lives.
Right, right.
Yeah,
Shelly. It is a very small church I go to. It's about 110 people, so.
Yeah, and you just need a larger kind of safety net than that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me paint sort of a formula for you. Here's what's very common that happens to humanity. You're floating along in life, and stuff happens to you that incredibly and drastically mm-hmm. and traumatically affects you, over which you have no control. You
right.
know, you couldn't control your husband's addiction. You couldn't control his death. You couldn't control the other death that you had in the family. You couldn't control, you know, this,
the Down syndrome,
the Downs, the spinal stuff, all that sort
right.
of stuff.
Yep.
So all these terrible things happen. Now, in the midst of that, excuse me, the brain begins to kind of, unless it's doing something else, it begins to kind of learn that I'm pretty helpless in controlling anything that makes me feel better. In fact, things that I can't control make me feel worse. And so I'm going to retreat and I'm going to shut down. And the opposite of that is when the person begins to gain something that psychologists call efficacy. It means that you are learning that you have some control over things that can affect your life. Now, we don't have control over people getting sick or dying, but
right.
we do have control of picking up the phone and calling a support group. We do have control of learning how some of our thinking patterns are contributing to this, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very important that you get active and retrain your mind back into how God created you,
mm-hmm.
which was to have an amount of self-control that can affect your well-being. And that's going to actually do more than just memorizing verses, because the verses tell you to go do that.
Right.
So we want to hook you up with some context which you can practice in.
So you kind of have to start by separating how you feel from what you're hearing, Henry and the rest of us saying to you, right? That you know the right thing to do is you've got to take a movement forward towards people, because that will actually help change the way you see things and think about things. But your feelings are going to tell you the opposite. That people
right.
aren't available, they don't care, you know, your body hurts from the surgery, whatever it is to kind of keep you isolated because you've been on that path.
So hopefully, Shelley, we've been able to share something with you. It's right. It's mm-hmm. really important what we think and then what we do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, Shelley, because it's really a choice to move
right.
back
That's a good
into
one.
Life and community. So we care about you. Thank you for calling. We're going to go on over here to Bethany. Bethany is calling from Seattle, Washington on station KGNW. Hey, Bethany.
Hello. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate you calling. So how can we help you today?
I'm wondering if it would help to ask someone to go to Everyman's Battle who claims to be a Christian, but they don't believe the Bible.
Okay. And so, but you think EMB would be good for this person? Is he struggling with pornography and those type of things?
I don't know if he calls it struggling because he thinks it's fine, but he has a long history of, there's been several women calling, say that he's raped them, and but it's always someone else's fault, so he doesn't see it that it's his fault, but I see it that he's
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You said there's been several women that he's raped?
So there's criminal activity here.
Nobody's come forward, legally. But one is my sister. Several people in the community.
Wow.
Wow.
So none of the... Your sister hasn't gone forward. Anyone else hasn't gone forward?
Because no,
this is serious.
Nobody will actually take it.
This is serious.
Yeah, Bethany, I don't think that the first thing to think about is, you know,
this
voluntary
isn't a guy that...
self... referral. You
yeah.
know, this is somebody that says he doesn't have a problem. He's out raping women and he
yeah.
doesn't think he has
He's
any...
He's not going to go.
Yeah, he doesn't think he has anything wrong with him?
He doesn't think so. I mean, he says it. I'm sure it's a way of dealing with
are
him.
Are you talking
something.
With him? I mean, are you in a relationship with him of some sort?
Yes. Unfortunately, we had a child together 4.5 years ago.
Hey, Bethany, we care about you. We're going to
Hold
break.
On.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham, sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and wanted to mention we have Wives in the Battle coming up in September, September 23rd to the 25th. It's actually the partner program that goes along with Every Man's Battle. So it's
and this
for
is the
wives.
First time we've done this. It's
first
long
time
overdue.
We've had so many wives, mm-hmm. women calling us saying, "What do I do when
right.
I find out that mm-hmm. my husband, boyfriend, whoever is into pornography? What do I do with that? How do I walk through this?" And
right.
so the weekend is just for you. We're going to be coming together, getting you connected with other women, and then learning about sex addiction and learning about the other part, codependency, and all mm-hmm. the things that we do to cover up, ignore, and how we can walk through with more power and not be so helpless in that state.
Right. Well,
and not be overreactive.
True.
Which gets in the way, too.
Because a lot of times the men will go to EMB, and they come home, and they're raring to go, and then the wives fall apart.
They do.
They've been holding it together for so long.
Yeah.
And so,
and then a lot of times the men self-disclose, right? Because that's part of the step for EMB.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that without the wives having that support, there's like body parts on the ground. You know?
Right.
It's hard to get mm-hmm. all that information.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to empower the women to just, you know, be able to walk through this. So
not be alone with it.
Yeah, so come. That's September 23rd through 25th.
One of the things I've seen in those scenarios, it's very hard to mm-hmm. do, I think. But it's the most redemptive thing, or I should say it, it usually has the greatest chance of adding a redemptive part to it. And that is, if she can understand that his response to the knowledge of what he's actually doing to her and to mm-hmm. himself, his response to that awareness is more important than whatever he's been doing, then you've upped the chances of everything working out by a gazillion.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
if you look sort of at the 50,000 foot level on that, God cares much more about our response. Because if he has our response, then he can fix a problem. He's not overcome by any sin.
Yeah.
He can fix all of it. But he can't if we don't respond. So if your man is saying, "Gosh, I can see, you know, I need to stop this," or whatever, he might have so normalized that in his head that he didn't even know he was hurting you, even though it's mm-hmm. hurt you greatly. And there is an important part in this about your expressing your hurt and being healed of that and the wounds and all that we talk about. But if he is repentant, make sure that you make a space for repentance that will be embraced. Because if the wound becomes greater than the ability to embrace the repentance,
and
then you've hit a logjam.
Yeah. Yep. That's very, very true.
And the only
very
place you're going to get that is from God empowering you and other people's support, helping you through the woundedness to have the capacity to not just react out of the pain.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, speaking of woundedness here, we have Bethany, who called in before the break, and her boyfriend, who she had a child by. She just shared with us at the show that just discovered that he has been raping other women. So really, really important that we kind of help you with that one, Bethany. So do you have a question for us? What would your question be?
Well, whether or not I asked that he goes through this Every Man's Battle, which has come to Seattle soon.
Well,
I
mean, sure, if he would go, but you've told us he's not interested, right?
Or he doesn't
see
the need.
No, I haven't talked to him about it.
Oh, I thought you said he doesn't think he has a problem.
He doesn't. He doesn't think, but he would do things. He would probably do things that I asked. Like, I asked him to start going to church.
Okay.
And he'll go, but
Well, by all means, ask. If you think he would go, it would be at least one step.
Yeah.
If you paid for it. If you paid for it. He's got to really want to go. I mean, if you're going to have to pay for a guy to go.
Yeah, I'm...
I don't know that... It sounds like you're trying to rescue him.
And the big elephant in the room... The big elephant in the room is, A, the women who have been injured, and, B, the next one. And so what I would be thinking about, and I'd probably talk to somebody, you know, in law enforcement about, with one... And I know this is a tough thing because many women, you know, for obvious reasons... coming forward and
it's frightening
and doing something about that is a whole world of hurt and pain. But this guy's got to be stopped, Bethany.
And you have a child with him.
Yeah, and I don't think that you can stop him by yourself. And so I think you've got to talk to somebody who can stop him.
And talk to your sister, because your sister, right, was one of those people that one of the girls that were violated by him.
Well, and Bethany, I wonder if you were too.
I think it depends on how you look at it. I think that's his way of thinking.
What? You know, what do you mean? It depends on how you look at it. Tell us more about that.
I didn't want to be in a physical relationship.
Okay.
And by his degree.
And what?
What was that?
I said but he's very convincing.
He's very convincing. Yeah.
Convincing. You know, every dog. So I put myself into this situation. You know, I didn't walk away from the room. I see that I played a part in it. But,
but he worked you.
But Bethany, if you can listen to the pain in your voice right now, you can see that it's not something that you went into with a wanting to, right?
Right.
And that's what's happening out there. And so that's what we want to, maybe we can hook you up with some help to talk through this about your next step.
Yeah. You know what? We've got a whole group of counselors, Christian counselors, our New Life team, and we'd really like, stay on the line, Bethany, and we'll get you hooked into one of our New Life counselors. She really needs that support. You can just hear it. And oftentimes, victims of sexual assault, you know, they need to have other people come around them and help them learn how to get stronger and how to voice what happened to them. Some of the most powerful steps victims have done has actually been to report the one that has been
not
the perpetrator.
Not to see it is their fault.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
They may have had a part in it, but an abuser knows what they're doing.
Exactly. So we need to continue to help people just like Bethany. And so I wanted to let you know summertime is a tough time for us here at New Life. As far as our gifts go, we are so grateful for all of you as listeners. We thank you for those that are supporting us. But oftentimes in the summer, right, when people go away and they're traveling and all of that, we
spending
we
their money
get,
on gas
yeah,
and things like
exactly,
that.
Exactly, plane trips and all that. Oftentimes, we may get missed. And so we want to just continue to keep ourselves in front of you. Remember us at New Life.
And people like Bethany. Bethany, we're so glad you called. And we really want to hook her up with help.
Absolutely. And this is what we do. Why we do what we do is we are here. We can reach out into people's hearts and homes. And we want to stay on the air. So if you would like to, if you've at some point, even if a call today, Bethany's call prompted you to think, wow, I really want to support this this ministry. Give us a call today. We'd love to hear from you. And if you do give us a call, we'd be happy to send you a book with a donation of Regret-Free Living. So we'd love to give you that. Any thoughts as we wrap up today?
Well, we don't have a lot of time, but I just want to, and I think this is for male or female, to the extent that you have a tendency, like Bethany, to kind of blame yourself for other people's bad behavior, get over that with God's help, because it's very, very important to stop it.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.